Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Cutout, written by Michelle Roberts and read by Jess Nesling and Mark Meadows. Sunlight glittered on the gravel underfoot, glossed the lip of the well. Bertha and I crunched across the courtyard and perched on the low stone parapet flanking the entrance to the chapel. 10 minutes to go. Bertha unfolded a black lace mantilla, draped it over her hairdo. Rigid curls held by lacquer smelling of burnt sugar. I'd snitched a headscarf from my mother, a yellow cotton square patterned with blue paisley. I knotted it loosely under my chin. Bertha said, "I'm dying for a quick cigarette. Got any on you, Clem?" "Sorry," I said. "I thought you'd given up. When did you start again?" "Oh," she said, "I don't smoke really, just now and then." She wore green rayon, carried a bag to match. I was wearing a white dress with polka dots that my mother had run up for me, and peep-toe cork-soled slingbacks that I'd repainted the night before to make them look less shabby. After a stroll together along the boulevards, Bertha and I had got to work back in our rented room in the old town, using nail varnish. Bertha painted one, and I did the other. Choking smell of pear drops and carnations. Next, we fixed up Bertha's wedges, coating them with tennis shoe whitener. We propped the sandals on the windowsill to dry. I had no other shoes with me and no money for drinks, so I stayed in, and Bertha kept me company. We spent the evening barefoot, sitting by the open window, looking down into the little square. At dusk, we turned the light off to discourage mosquitoes. Once it grew properly dark outside, yellow lanterns strung from crisscross chains lit up the wooden platform outside the cafe opposite. The band struck up, and people began dancing. We ate our picnic, saucisson, tomatoes, olives, bread that we'd wrapped as a parcel to smuggle past the landlady, plus a bottle of beer. Tooth mug toasts. "Well then," I asked Bertha, "so how's the little one?" Bertha said, "He's doing fine. My mother-in-law's gone over to look after him. Roger didn't think he'd cope on his own." The courtyard began filling up with people. Bertha fiddled with her mantilla and yawned. We'd shared a room to save money, slept badly on a sagging mattress. Bertha stuck the bolster down the middle of the bed to fill the dip and so that she wouldn't kick me in the night. She kissed me across it. "Good night, Clem, dear." The bolster wore a long white nightshirt, its frilled collar tied with a pink bow. "Good night, sir," Bertha said to it. "Sleep well. Sweet dreams in between us." Heat struck down. We moved further inside the chapel porch to shelter from the glare. Bertha pulled on a pair of black lace gloves. We both draped cardigans over our bare shoulders.